This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
Yeah. What is going on?
Hello. It is a gorgeous day outside.
Yes, it is.
Hey, we're done? That was great.
Talk to you guys tomorrow. I'm out of here.
And see, that Palm Springs worked out for you, did it?
What do you mean?
Well, assume that you're heading back to Palm Springs.
I will say, I was looking, I like to just look at real estate.
Sure.
Just to see what you can get in different parts of the country.
Uh-huh. Is Palm Springs affordable?
Well, this is, okay, so Palm Springs is different than like, Indio or Rancho Mirage or Palm Desert. They're all different. They're all right there. But when you say Palm Springs, that's like the downtown, like Palm Springs. And then there are other towns around it, right?
Okay.
So this isn't Palm Springs. It's Rancho Mirage. But while I was down there, I just happened upon a property. And it was
a tasty little morsel for
someone
of your means, the great Isaac Ropp.
Well, I mean, I wish, like, I'd buy it right now if I could, and just, I mean, it was, okay, so it was two bedrooms, two bath, mm-hmm. just a little kind of, like, townhouse condo-y thing, pool, it doesn't have its own pool, but it has, like,
community pool,
sure. Like, right across the street, garage, detached garage, mm-hmm. very nice, nicely remodeled, not old, dingy, it's really nice. Guess how much? Okay, so this is in Mission, inside the gates of Mission Hills Country Club.
So I assume, and maybe I'm just completely, because I've never been to Palm Springs. I'm unfamiliar with the area. I've heard many tales of it.
Yeah.
Like Camelot. I'm aware that people talk about it, but I've never been inside the walls.
There's a lot of old people. There's a lot of gay people, but
it's right up my alley. I'm familiar with the olds and the gays. I live there now.
It's really, it's getting hot.
See, I was always under the impression that Palm Springs was expensive. So I'll say...
Again, this is Rancho Mirage, not technically Palm Springs, but it's right there.
I don't know. You give me like $350?
Just dropped to $279.
Juicy, Papa. Real juicy.
That's good, man.
That is good.
I mean, when you're used to Portland where somebody can't buy a starter home for...
No.
$350,000, $279,000, and the three golf courses are right there. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me?
There's a reason why I live in Vancouver. When we moved from La Center, I looked at getting something by the station, and that lasted all of about 3 seconds.
So if anyone
told my realtor, I'm like, you know I'm in radio, right? So let's go ahead and say no to that.
If somebody would like to text it, just the first person to text. I can't take them all, but if you text the Better You Today text line at 55305 right now, the mm-hmm. first person... to loan me $279,000.
You get like free visits or whatever?
Yeah, you can use it.
Understand.
Once a year.
Look at Mike and his giant radio salary. He's buying palatial estates out in Hillsborough. He can swing you some money.
Tell you what, it's pretty enticing, man. But then, so that's a country club sort of district, like area inside this country club. So you'd have to then join the country club if you wanted to golf on the courses.
And I'm getting the HOA dues. And
HOAs, yeah. No, the HOAs were like $400 to $500, which... I mean, you never like HOAs, but that's manageable compared to some of the others.
I've accepted the fact that due to my extravagant lifestyle, I will never, and my poor salary, I will never have a vacation home. So what I do is just my best friend, he is going to have a vacation home, and then he's going to do like the pool house, the casita, and then I'm going to be his Cato Caitlin. So that's really my plan.
Pool boy?
Pool boy, yeah. So he just said that he'll just kind of give me that one and give me a key and I can get drunk and pass out in the pool and whatnot until one day I drown. And that's just kind of my retirement plan. It's like, do you have a vacation home? No, but I'm getting very, very close. You're going to buy one? No, but my best friend is. And then at that point, I'll just sponge off him. It's like having a boat, right?
Oh, that's
you
okay.
You don't want a boat. You want a friend with a boat.
He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care. I mean, I'm in the guest house. Now, I won't be allowed. The wife said I'm not allowed in the main residence, and I'm fine with that. She doesn't want to deal with me on a day-to-day basis, so you just put me in the pool house, and occasionally you have to ignore my bloated, sunburnt corpse floating around the pool. But as long as that's the case, that you can handle that, then, you know, it's the best of both worlds. I'll vacuum up from time to time, maybe trim some hedges. It's my retirement plan.
It's already getting a little raunchy, but I am considering, like, somebody will offer me the money, but they expect full service from me.
Well, look, I will tell you.
You know, I think about it.
Animal gratification, that sort of
thing.
Whoa. Look, we've seen the beefcake photos on the Italian Riviera. You can't put that out there and not expect full service from people.
Let's see what else we have here. Yeah, we've got Japanese yen. Look at that. $270,500 Japanese yen loan.
You be
right
careful
there.
With that yen. Yeah, I got screwed over buying a watch in Japan once. Didn't understand the conversion rate. Ended up getting a bad deal on a Casio G-Shock.
Somebody told me earlier this week that they were looking at a 600 square foot, what do you call the...
Like a
the studio.
Like a lean-to, a shanty, if you will?
Not a one-bedroom, a studio.
Yeah.
600-square-foot studio downtown Portland, $1,600 a month. 600 square feet.
My daughter went to the University of Chicago.
And that's not even as bad as the Bay Area.
No. My daughter went to the University of Chicago, and she lived a couple blocks from Wrigley Field because I didn't want her to get murdered. So we lived in a decent part, but not technically Wrigleyville, but on the other side of Wrigleyville. It was a nice area. And she lived, it was like an old industrial building that they like, that had been turned into a hotel for a while. And then the hotel turned into apartments. So think about like a very small hotel room. I want to say it was about 300 and maybe 375 square feet was her apartment. And there was like a little kitchenette and then like a little kind of bathroom and then that was it.
So while you're sitting on the toilet, you can.
Yes.
Flip the eggs.
You could open the door to the bathroom and you could reach out. And if you had long enough arms, you could easily turn on the stove. That is what we dealt with. And that apartment, which was supposed to be split between me and her, and it really ended up just being my apartment. I want to say, if I remember correctly, that thing was right around $1,400 and 375 square feet.
Mm.
Yeah. And every month I would write that check. And it wasn't that bad until I would go out and visit her a couple times a year. And I would see the 375 square foot apartment, knowing that I was going to have to get a hotel because we both couldn't stay in said apartment. That's when the knife really got dug in there. And you find out about big city living.
Look at all these real estate success stories we're getting on the Better You Today text line right now. Everybody telling us about, like, here's a guy who says he rents a place. It's 800 square feet. It's in Burlingame, Southwest Portland. Sold in 08 for $198,000. No upgrades have been done. He just rents it. $500,000 now.
It's insane.
Dude, it's crazy, man.
It is insane what's happening. And you wonder, like, in 10 years, is anyone going to be able to afford to live here? Or are we
10
just
years?
Are we just San Francisco
now?
Part two? But we've talked about this. It's the only thing that Portland has going forward is you can say this. It's not Seattle. It's not San Francisco. It's not L.A.
That's true.
That's the only thing that we can say.
Yeah.
You've been up to Seattle? My brother almost moved to Seattle.
Isn't that the city right up by five?
Yeah. Have you been there recently and looked at any of the homes? Because my brother almost had to move up there for work.
I don't like Seattle.
A number of months ago.
I mean, I like Seattle, but I don't.
You wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
So he had to work. He was going to work in the city. And so they were looking at what it cost to live anywhere near.
How much?
Just not even like for a.
You got to live way out.
You got to live way out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just, and you can't drive into the city. So you drive 20 minutes to take a train an hour into the city if you've got a family. Because it doesn't like. There's no such thing unless you're a millionaire of a family living in that city. It does not exist.
So. It's weird to me that, because, you know, we were talking the other day about the crane count in Portland.
Yes.
and we have a ton of cranes. We're like leading. We're like top two. Seattle and Portland are like two of the top three.
Crane City, USA. Enough of this soccer stuff. Give us what we really want. Cranes.
And who knew they counted cranes, but they do. And that's some indicator that the economy is booming in this net. Well, we have a ton of cranes. Like if you look downtown, there's crane everywhere.
Yeah.
Cranes are kind of cool, but you don't really see unless you're looking for them. You know, you just kind of.
After you mentioned that, and then I started driving everywhere. Around and you're like, holy hell.
Yeah.
A lot of cranes.
All of the stuff that's going up seems to be the same thing, and I don't understand it. Why do they do that? Everything they build, everything, is high-end condos with retail or business.
Underneath.
Every single thing. Like, why is there not one builder who will just put up a basic, I don't know, however many units, basic $750 a month to $1,400 a month building of little apartments and condos.
Well, I can tell you why.
And you would that thing would never be empty.
No, but here's the thing. Why do that when I can take that same space and put slightly more amenities into them and then charge $2,500 a month and they'll still never be empty?
Because there's that's the thing is they will be empty. There's like 8 million of those and there's 8 million people out there sitting there going, God, all I want to do is find something close to town that rents for a reasonable rate.
And yet they're all full. Otherwise, they wouldn't, be that price.
They're definitely not all full. But trust me, are building.
If it made more sense to build affordable housing, people would be building affordable housing.
Well, no. Wait a minute. Affordable housing is different than like mid-level. I'm talking about because they have to in some of these high rises.
Yeah.
Or in some of these like really nice buildings.
Yeah, you gotta
have to build in.
Yeah, the cheapos.
Yeah, if that's what you want to call them.
Sure.
So they have to kind of satisfy that. But some of them get around it too, you know, because these rich guys, these rich builders.
Yeah.
And you know who you are. I'm looking right at you. But they just aren't all full. They really aren't. They just keep popping them up because I guess, I don't know, they make a bunch of money on them, whether they're full or not, or their tax breaks or whatever. But that's all that they throw up now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's ridiculous. And hopefully we don't have another housing market crisis, or there's going to be a lot of people in trouble.
All right. Well, there's your hot real estate topic of the day. You guys want to talk some real estate?
How did we even end up on that?
Well, you said I was moving to Palm Springs, and I said, well, I might. I just need to borrow $279,000.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, a lot of people have offered it up here. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people love you.
What are we going to do now?
I'm guessing sports.
Yeah, but what?
Well, let's talk
March Madness. Colorado Cal, let's break it down.
Can we talk about the Pac-12 basketball tournament? Is there less enticing basketball tournament anywhere on the planet right now than the Pac-12 tournament?
I'm sure there's a small conference that doesn't have a lot of good teams.
Look at that big white guy for Cal.
Yeah.
For Cal. How tall is that guy? Is he 8 feet tall?
Cal was 0-15, and then I think they won their last two or three games.
They're hot.
Including beating Washington, who is the conference champ.
The Pac-12, have you ever tried to figure it out?
Well, I think
there was... Have you ever tried to, like, look at the betting lines and see, like, who you think?
No.
It's impossible.
Well, I know that there's one game that separates in all the different tiebreakers. There was one game that separated 3, I think, through 9. Because going into the final weekend, the only ones that were set was 1 and 2. That was Washington, Washington State, and then 11 and 12. And everything else was within a game and a half of each other. There's no good teams in the Pac-12. There's bad teams, see Cal and Washington State, maybe even throw USC in that mix. But everyone else, like, there's no difference. Just everyone just gets muddled together, including, I guess, your best team, Washington, because you lost to the worst team that was 0-15 in conference.
See, Gonzaga lost last night.
I know.
They scored 47 points.
They beat the Gales. So they lost to St. Mary's.
They beat the Gays?
They beat the Gays. Can you do that? I don't think you can do that. The Gales.
That'd be bad.
The Gales.
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's. So they beat St. They lost to St. Mary's. And I think when they played in the regular season, I want to say they beat them by 41. They beat them by 40 plus points. And they just got nicked by him in the West Coast Conference.
Yeah, it's
tournament.
Like we were just saying like last week that they win every game by 30 points. They lost by 13. I mean, that's just like out of the blue. They score 47 and lose by double.
So you only score 47 against them, and the time you played them previously, you won by 40. I mean, you won by the margin that you basically scored in the game last night. I didn't see any of this. I just like was kind of playing around on Twitter, and I saw people being like, "Hey, Gonzaga's gonna lose," and I was like, "What?" It's like, no. And I guess it wasn't even really close. I guess St. Mary's kind of gave them the business.
Interesting. Well, forget March Madness. We should be debating who's going to start at second base for the Portland baseball team.
Oh, yeah, that's coming.
Because, you know, opening day, a couple weeks.
What? We got...
We're riding high from our MLB to Portland show yesterday.
Well, 33 months, right, to build the stadium. So let's start digging right now. Speaking of real estate...
Well, we do got to get back to some NFL. We've got the now there are a lot of things because we were busy with MLB to Portland yesterday. We did not get to talk about this admissions scam.
Yeah, I know. It hurts my heart. My Lori Loughlin.
She turned herself in today.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was on the lam, right? She was a fugitive. There was a warrant. Who would have thought that Aunt Becky was going to have a warrant out for her arrest? Because the other one, Felicity Huffman, she turned herself in.
And then we have when fans piss off sports stars. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about Russell Wilson. James Dolan comes complete with audio.
Douche.
And so much more today. So let's start, though, with the day in NFL free agency because the new league year has begun. Earl Thomas has a home, a couple trades. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, look at my Buffs. Got a 9-point lead on Cal.
Now, I will tell you that the only team in Pac-12 tournament history to win 4 games and in the championship.
Oregon.
Colorado Buffaloes.
Oh, yeah? What year?
Hell if I know. But apparently after knocking off Cal, which they're clearly going to do, we can pencil Colorado all the way in.
They're looking pretty good, Bill.
I think they get the Beavs, right?
Yes.
I think the winner of this.
Yeah. Gets Oregon State. USC beat Arizona earlier. It's March Madness, man.
Yeah, and then Sean Miller, did you see his weird goodbye?
No.
I guess in their regular season finale, he gave Durden Sprague played it. It was bad audio, but he took the mic and thanked everybody and said it was wonderful to have coached there for 10 years and best fans in the world. Sure felt like a goodbye to me, especially since
did they fire him?
No, but he's got to testify under oath in that trial coming up in April.
Thinks he's going to jail?
I think he thinks he's going to jail or he's going to get fired. I don't think he's back at Arizona. So
why haven't they fired him yet?
It sure, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing new out there.
With all the stuff going on, it's amazing that more people haven't fallen. I'll go the LSU guy, I guess he's suspended indefinitely at least.
But that was new, though, wasn't it?
That was new.
Yeah, Miller, we've known since last year.
Yeah, but once these trials and people are under oath, there may be some more details coming out, and maybe he knows that. I'm just saying that what they played of him talking to the Arizona crowd, Mike, see if you can dig that up, will you? It sure sounds like a goodbye, and he's been there for 10 years. I mean, that was one of the best programs in the country, and they suck this year, and he may be going to jail or at least in some trouble with the NCAA, and I don't know how you view this any other way than he was saying goodbye.
Well, I believe that he should be fired by Arizona twice. Once for paying players and twice for never doing crap with them.
Yeah, I never made it to a Final Four.
So that's how I feel about Sean Miller.
Well, I think you're going to get your wish. I don't know if you can be fired twice, but I'm fairly certain if I'm a betting man, he's going to get fired.
Oh, Mike has the audio.
Yeah, so listen to this. It's kind of splotchy.
There's no place... It's more magical than the McHale Center. There's no fans in the world that are more loyal.
Not true.
And it has been an amazing honor to coach in McHale Center for the last 10 years. Thank you for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a goodbye, right? Like, if I came on and made that exact speech, but changed the McHale Center to this studio, and then I left, especially after we had like our worst year ever in ratings, I'm pretty sure you'd be like, yeah.
Wait, we did?
I'm saying if we had. I'm pretty certain that you would be like, yeah, Souk's not coming back.
Yeah, well, good riddance, whatever.
I don't think we had our worst ratings, did we? Anybody?
I don't think so.
No?
Last year? I don't know. Nobody knows.
I think we're great.
We don't even know. They didn't even tell us anymore.
Hey, last year we were number one.
We were?
Yeah.
Sweet.
There you go.
I think last year,
believe it or not, it was the best year we've ever had.
Well, that's not saying much. Mm. You know, it's like...
Well, again, in my life, I like to set the bar low enough that if I just stumble, I can still kind of fall over the top of it.
Well, Arizona hasn't been the same since Lute Olson left. So, and I kind of liked Lute Olson. I thought he was awesome. I mean, you know, a cheat and a scumbag, but yeah. Awesome. Like in college basketball terms.
Isn't everyone a cheat and a scumbag?
Kind of.
I mean, but you love Bill Self, but can't we admit that Bill Self is a scumbag and a cheat?
No, he wasn't.
But he's been named by like 5 different people in this investigation.
No, you need to stop. It's, you know, it's fake news.
Is it?
Yeah, you need to stop.
Okay.
Just don't read. So read the KU stuff. Like,
do they?
That's the real news.
Do they put a positive spin on that?
State-run news.
Okay.
No, like it's college basketball. Look, they're all a little, you know, rough around the edges. But
no, Oregon did an internal investigation and they found the utmost like integrity and standards in their program.
As rough around the edges go, I thought Lute was kind of a fun guy to have in the league, and
well, sure,
he was really good at what he did. And
well, he was a scumbag, but gave the perception that he wasn't.
Yeah.
So it's funny
because he was easy to root against.
Yeah. There's people that are scumbags that let you know they're scumbags. I don't know. Let's say the Bob Higgins or who was the old UConn coach?
You're talking about Bob Huggins.
Bob Huggins. Yeah. Who am I thinking of?
Jim Calhoun.
Jim Calhoun.
Horrible man.
Yeah. He was just, he didn't care. He was like, I'm a horrible person and I'm going to let you know I'm a horrible
Boeheim.
Person. Yes. But then you get the others. That that are just as scumbaggery, but like the Roy Williams, yeah. But then they try to play it off.
They're just polished.
Yeah, polished.
They're
Luke was that way.
Okay, enough March Madness. What are you looking at us like
just,
that?
Just the shot.
What?
It's not a shot.
It's not
are
a
you,
shot.
Are you
He's
really,
a jerk.
Are you really trying to tell me that Boeheim tries to polish his image?
By the way,
no, he does not try to polish it, but I think you're putting him in a worse light than he is.
Really?
He's one of those guys. He is. And look, here's the other thing. We kind of went easy on him. The guy hits and kills a guy. Next day, he's at the game.
Well, it was an important game.
Exactly.
He said the university made that decision for him.
Whatever. If you're, he can do whatever he wants. He's like the king of Syracuse. So I don't buy that bull stuff.
Ooh, careful.
But, It was because it was Duke.
Yeah.
If that was not Duke, if they were playing St. John's or whomever, he wouldn't have been there.
No.
I looked squarely in his eyes when they were doing the whole, like his wife was there crying. And,
yeah.
You know, I hate to say this. I don't know that it affected him that much.
Oh, come on.
I think he's dead inside.
I don't know if he's dead inside.
Trust me, as someone who watches every Syracuse game, he was not the same.
See, look at Mike.
Well, I'm just saying he looked like, I mean, he did look dead inside, but not because he always looks like that.
He always looks like that.
Jim Boeheim cares about one thing and one
thing
only.
Right.
And that's that little ball that bounces. He's one of those guys. And a lot of the coaches that are really successful are at every level in every sport. That are like that.
Well, but
they ignore
the
their families. They ignore their health. They ignore any rules and regulations. They ignore society. They are single-minded. Bobby Knight might be one of the worst human beings walking the planet, and yet he will be remembered as this great leader of men because he won basketball games. Like, you couldn't have worse behavior at a program for 30 years.
Now, what do you think of Coach K?
See, K comes across as, again, really polished. And I want to believe that there's the guy that's doing it better than everyone else is doing it cleaner than everyone else, but I'm not buying that bill of goods. I think underneath, when you eventually flip over that rock, I think that's John Wooden-esque. Because we talked about in the program, Wooden has the best reputation of anyone in the history of college sports, and yet he ran arguably the dirtiest program in the history of college sports. And I don't buy that everyone else in the country, right, the Kentuckys, the Oregons, the LSUs, the North Carolinas, UConn, Syracuse, Kansas, they all have to feed at the same trough, right? They all have to play filthy, filthy ball in order to win national titles and to compete. And yet you're here, you're expecting me to believe that Duke, who's the most successful college basketball program of our lives, right, over the last 30 years, I'm supposed to believe that they are more successful than everyone else and they don't have to eat at the same trough? I don't buy it. I just think they do it cleaner than everyone else and they're better at covering it up, and that Coach K is more polished than
others.
They
do it cleaner than everyone else?
Well, they do their cheating cleaner than everyone else. I think they're more dialed in.
Well, they
sanitize it better so it's harder to find?
Yes.
Well, look.
I think Alabama's this way in football.
There's two different things here. There's the authoritarian, you know, sort of angry a-hole strong-arming coach.
Sure.
White guy, old white guy. That's Knight. That's Boeheim. Yeah, that's Calhoun. I think Coach K, maybe Roy Williams and like the Bill Self, those guys are a little different in a sense that it's interesting. Like if you're a basketball coach and you work your way up through the ranks and you get the Arizona job after Sean Miller, you're not Bob Knight. You don't run things like Bob Knight or, you know, those guys. But you are now swimming in a pool where the price of doing business is breaking the rules. Like, sure. it's just how you do it. Like, and so is Coach K a horrible guy? Because now he suckled at the teat of the great Bob Knight.
Yes, he's a West Point guy.
And he's much more, I think, authoritarian than maybe he leads on or that people know. But, I mean, you got to, you know, at some point you got to back off and respect when players that played for him love him. And, you know, obviously he's great at what he does. He's probably the best. But I don't know. Is there a difference with those guys where they're just doing what it takes to win in a dirty sport, that there's nobody doing it clean? Or if you are, you're falling behind. So it'd be like you going in, getting the Arizona job. And, you know, it's like, there's nothing you can do, man. You're a good guy. You want to play by the rules, but not in this sport, you can't really.
Yeah.
You know, so there's separate.
I don't view Coach K as a bad guy, and I don't view him as a cheater or anything like that, because like I'm with you in that it's the cost of doing business. And I do appreciate the fact that he does it the best way to put it, in a classier manner than I think a lot of the others.
He cheats classier.
Well, I think he carries himself. I think he treats his players better than a lot of these other guys. And I do respect that. The only part about it that bothers me, and Roy Williams is this way more so than Coach K, although Coach K has some of this too. The part that bothers me about it is the hypocrisy of when any of these issues come up, God, they act like that it can't possibly happen at their program. It's like when the shoe deals came up, right? And they asked Coach K and they asked Roy Williams about it. They're like, well, we're glad people got punished. And then neither one of them, who, by the way, take millions of dollars from Nike every year, two of the richest shoe contracts in the land, and they both acted like they had no clue what AAU basketball or a Nike shoe deal was. They're like, what? Roy Williams is like, I've never even met a shoe guy. Really, Roy? You're the University of Michael Jordan. And you don't know your athletic shoe guy that supplies that. That's the sort of thing that bothers me more about those guys than the others, is they act like they're above it when we know good and damn well that they're not.
See, he that's where he falls more into the Calhoun Knight category of like, you better believe what I say. He's more, I worked with him at Kansas. He's more heavy handed than anyone thinks.
Sure.
Like some people are texting in like Chris Peterson's good about this. He's a heavy-handed dude, man.
Yes.
He is a stern leader. But
if you talk to anyone that's close to that program, Chris Peterson comes across as a Mike Riley sort of like very affable guy. I can assure
he's
you
tough.
That Chris Peterson is a disciplinarian of the highest order.
But then I think to be successful at that job, you have to have that. So it's really hard to put everyone in just like one category. But there is a difference.
But he's more polished than others.
But here's my overriding point, then we got to go. We're going to get to the NFL, but my overriding point is, after this college admissions cheating scam that we saw that was that broke yesterday, now how does it look that people are going to jail for giving legitimate athletes a little bit of money to play basketball or football? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like compare it now that this assistant coach from Arizona was shoving, or this Adidas guy was shoving a little money to the family of a legit player who is going to be worth a lot of money for a lot of people in 2 years. People are going to jail for that. Like, is that really?
I know.
And not so that's what we're talking about
exactly
here.
Not are they going to jail, but the feds are going after that money to be recouped and give it back to the universities, because they claim that those universities were defrauded out of millions of dollars. So, meanwhile, you've got rich celebrities paying $500,000 to get their kid a rowing scholarship to Yale. And by the way, they don't row.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think that it's kind of hard. It's hard for me to look at any college basketball coach. I'm totally with you on the self-righteousness of it and the, oh, how dare you? Because we all know.
I wouldn't do that.
Because we all know what's going on. But I also, I just don't think it's the worst thing in the world what they're doing. I think it's stupid that it's even illegal. Yeah. So I just have a hard time calling them cheaters and horrible people. You know, now the authoritarian guys like the Bob Knights, that's a totally different story because yes, they just seem like miserable humans. But
yes, and I think
they're not all like
that. They treat the kids underneath their care horribly.
All right, we'll get to that college admissions cheating scam coming up, but the day in the NFL, Odell Beckham has a new team, Le'Veon Bell has decided, and Earl Thomas is headed out of Seattle. That's next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, if you missed yesterday's shows, all day on the station, we were out with the Portland Diamond Project out at their clubhouse downtown, rallying for Major League Baseball to Portland. A lot of good info. You can go back and listen to any of the shows or hours that you missed yesterday at 1080thefan.com on our podcast section, brought to you by Les Schwab. It was a good day. Mike Barrett, Craig Cheek were on. And Cheek, you know, I mean, it sounds like things are heating up in the relocation department over the next 2 or 3 months. There may be some interesting stuff happening. So
yeah, and they talked about that they wouldn't do that without the ability to buy at least 51% of a team. They won't move a team here without being the controlling ownership group.
So it's kind of getting close to critical mass on that front, at least on relocation, expansion down the road. So interesting stuff yesterday. If you missed any of it, go to 1080thefan.com. You can listen back. So what do we have today? We have Le'Veon Bell finally deciding.
Yeah, and
he's chosen the Jets.
Well, it sounds like this was the only team. So it was reported that the Ravens and the Jets were like this big decision for him. But it came out today that sources, and not just the sources, but the Ravens are saying, we never made an offer to Bell. We talked to his agent once, and that was it, that they had their sights set on Mark Ingram the entire time. They got Mark Ingram. It sounds like the Jets, it was for Bell, it was that or nothing.
Somebody said, I think it might have been Rappaport, who's, I don't know about him and his stuff, but he was the one that said, I think it was him, said the Niners came in hard at the last minute for Bell.
It's possible. But I mean, it was.
But the Jets didn't really buy it, and so they didn't budge off their offer. They said, take it or leave it.
I also saw the Bears were one of the teams that was considered a finalist from another reporter.
It doesn't sound like there was a huge market for him. And I know he ended up getting more guaranteed money than what Pittsburgh was offering, but this is not viewed as a win for him. The almost $15 million that he gave up last year by sitting out, he's not even the highest paid back in the NFL. I honestly think he kind of ended up screwing himself over, unless you believe that he's just going to get hurt in the next year or two. Had he played and just, I mean, not even just been like phenomenal, but if he had played and not been hurt, he would have made more money in Pittsburgh than what he's going to make with the Jets. It's just the guaranteed money was more with the Jets.
So he gets $52.5 million with the Jets, and how much is guaranteed?
I think 30, just shy, or excuse me, just north of 30. I think it was 31, 32 million.
So he cost himself basically 14 or 15 million by sitting out.
Yeah.
Because he would have had that money from Pittsburgh.
Sure.
But he cost himself that.
And I guess Pittsburgh didn't want to offer him, I think, well, we've never seen the official amount, but the rumor is that Pittsburgh was offering somewhere between 10 and 15 million guaranteed. So he doubled his guaranteed money, but he did not get some sort of financial windfall out of this. And again, he sat out and cost himself almost $15 million last year.
Yes, but he's healthier than ever
and
fresh.
And he's in New York.
That's the way he's trying to sell it. Yeah, he's going to New York. I think it's interesting with Darnold and him now with the Jets. So and then Adam Gase is our coach, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting what they're doing out there in New York.
Well, sure. I mean, if you end
better
up
better than the Giants,
if Darnold turns out to be your franchise quarterback, then you know you got something cooking. I mean, that's
they need to get him some receivers.
Yeah, and then you look at what the Giants did. The only thing you can explain at this point is the Giants have decided that their path of building one more winner around Eli Manning is over, and they're just punting and they're going through full rebuild because they let Landon Collins, who's one of the best run stuffing safeties in the NFL, walk. You traded Olivier Vernon. You've now traded Odell Beckham. So basically what you're left with is you've got a star running back. and a really aging subpar quarterback at this point and some cap space. So,
well, they didn't really have much anyway. I guess, yeah, I mean,
this is full on.
There wasn't a lot of hope for the Giants anyway.
This is full on rebuild mode right now if you're the you're the Giants. And I know everyone's killing them over the Odell Beckham trade, but if you really are just going to say, look, we're going to tear this down, we're going to suck, and we're going to rebuild, then he probably doesn't fit inside that window. And, you know, they're trying to bill it as he's a locker room problem. Everything else I've read says that the players in the locker room love him and that he's one of the hardest workers, you know, in the room. I think this is more of just they're like, look, we don't want to pay this money when we're not going to be competitive. Probably for the next year or two. They're going to draft a quarterback this year and they're going to go through a rebuild.
Don't you think that around the league, they've got a real problem with malcontents or just guys who are going to be
sure.
a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
People are really sensitive to that, which why there wasn't that's why there wasn't a big market for Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Odell. So basically I don't know. According to executives who never put their name on any of this, but they leak it out that Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Odell Beckham, who are all three switching teams, are all phenomenal players, but they're all a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Every one of them.
And they're all really, really expensive. And, you know, baseball's going through a little bit of this right now where a lot of baseball teams are just being like, look, I understand you're good, but we don't want to pay you the freight. And I think it's obviously much worse in the NFL because in baseball you don't have the cap. In the NFL you do. And I just think there's a lot of NFL teams that are finally starting to look at the Patriots and be like, well, maybe New England's onto something, right? New England's been doing this for 15 years, letting their best players walk away. Think about what New England over the last, let's just take the last, 7 or 8 seasons, right? They let Trey Flowers, who they developed into one of the premier pass rushers in the league, they let him go. They got rid of Chandler Jones, sent him off to Arizona when he was at the peak of his powers. I think he was second in the league in sacks last year. They let their left tackle, Nate Solder, who they drafted, go for big money to the Giants, by the way. They let his replacement, Trent Brown, who played at an all-pro level this last year, they let him walk to, Oakland, I think it was, for the richest contract in NFL history. I mean, just... They time and time again, Jamie Collins, right, who was their best defensive player, they shipped him out to Cleveland of all places. They have just shown time and time again that they love you until you want a bunch of money. And once that happens, thanks for coming. We can identify cheaper, younger, and build a better roster. They pay maybe 3 or 4 guys every year, right? Brady gets paid, but not what the other quarterbacks in the league get paid. They gave Stephen Gilmore a big contract. They paid Gronk. Big money. Hightower got paid. I'm trying to think of anyone else on the New England roster that they paid to keep McCourty. But again, not like top three at his position money. There's just very few guys that they are willing to spend big money on. And I think there are some other teams in the NFL that are finally looking at this and being like, yeah, I know you're good, but you're a pain in the ass and you're really expensive. Thanks, but no thanks. And I think teams should be wise to do that because there's been one team that's done it better than everyone else for 2 decades. And last time I checked, they're really successful at it.
All right, let's talk about Odell to Cleveland. And we'll tell you where Earl Thomas went next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, little NFL talk. A lot going on. New league year starts today. A lot of movement.
People saying, oh, you're always, this was better you today, text line. You're always praising the Pats, but they have the greatest quarterback of all time, and their coach is great, and they play in a weak division.
Overrated.
It's not just the Pats. The Seahawks have done this. I think the Eagles have done a real good job with this.
Well, it's a good system. The NFL's a good system.
Yes.
Compared to the other pro sports.
And it pays you to be smart and not get caught up in paying people top price salaries.
Well, in order to win in the NFL, every sport's different. It's just the nature of the sports are much different. Like in the NBA, for example, one or two players can affect your franchise a lot greater than, you know, in sports where there are more players on the field or whatever.
Sure.
So every sport's different, but the way they're structured business-wise, the NFL, man, you have got to be solid everywhere on the field.
Yep.
In order to win, which isn't that kind of the whole point? It's like, every team has good players, but if you don't do it well enough, you don't do it as well as the next guy, you have holes and you're going to lose. And so it's a good system that in that it really does produce, it makes every level of your franchise have to be good.
Yes.
And that's kind of like the mark of you know, determining a true champion,
and,
right?
And yet we so get caught up in the media and as fans.
Patriots, it's not just, my point was, Patriots, it's not just X's and O's.
No.
It's also how they have gone about putting together their roster based on the collective bargaining agreement and the salary cap and everything
having self-control. Like, we will make such a big deal out of Antonio Brown going to the Raiders or Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets. In reality, having Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell doesn't mean a big swing wins and losses. It just doesn't. You can have a good quarterback and you can have a great wide receiver or running back, but if you have a crappy O-line, nothing is going to become of it. Like, you can sign an elite corner, but if you've got garbage the rest in your secondary, it's not going to work out. It's like there's this notion that we get caught up in star players, and I'm just, stars don't win in the NFL. Rosters win in the NFL at one position, and that's the exception to this, and that is at quarterback. But even that, to an extent, we've seen teams that can win with mediocre average quarterbacks. It's just that if you have bad quarterback play, this league and everything around it is designed to win from that position. So if you have a bad one, that really makes the make it or break it point. But the NFL is not about stars, and it's not about, you know, driving, you know, I don't know, like the fame of one individual player. Like, we make Odell Beckham Jr. out to be the end all to be all for New York. But I ask the question, what the hell did he mean for him last year? Right. He's fun to watch, and maybe he puts some butts in the seats in New York, and maybe that's important to you, but it actually wins and losses and what it means to your franchise. He meant very little to the Giants. Why? Because you had a weak roster around him. And that's the truth of the NFL. While it's fun and it's sexy to get all excited about it, sometimes it's the non-sexy move. It's the slot receiver. It's the nickel corner that you sign. It's the defensive lineman that you pick up, on a 1 or a 2 year deal for $7 or $8 million a year. It's the totality of those moves that end up putting a team into the Super Bowl.
It's how you allocate the money, and you got to draft well. So that's why there's a reason why the league is the most popular league in pro sports.
Yes.
And that's part of it.
And if you're good and smart, you can go from worst to first
easily
in a very, very short period of time.
That's right. So Odell's going to Cleveland. I think that's awesome because, well, I'm a huge Browns fan. You knew that about me, right?
And you've
been pulling for them for years.
To be honest with you, we have talked a lot of Cleveland Browns on this program over the years.
It's because we're big fans.
For whatever reason, they have been, they've been very polarizing. And the way they finished the year, and at least you look at them on paper, and we'll see what Freddie Kitchens has as the full-time coach. But you look at that division with the Steelers, I'm assuming, taking a step back, who weren't great last year. The Ravens had some major turnover, and we'll see what happens with Lamar Jackson. But when you start looking top to bottom, when we talk about rosters, and the Cleveland Browns have a cheap quarterback for the next 4 years, Cleveland's got a really, really talented roster top to bottom. At least on paper, this is a very dangerous team.
Do you know that they're third in the AFC now in odds to win the conference?
Who's New England, I'm assuming?
New England's one, and Kansas City is two.
Yeah.
And then it's Cleveland.
You look at it again.
Goose.
They were in a lot of games.
That's amazing.
Earlier in the year, couldn't win.
Well, they've just got a lot of, they got a lot of talent.
They do.
Now you got Mayfield, who's legit.
Mm-hmm.
You put Odell Beckham out there. You have Kareem Hunt.
Jarvis Landry.
Don't they have, what's his nuts? Chubb?
Nick Chubb.
He's good.
So you're going to have a three-headed back of Duke Johnson, Nick Chubb, and Kareem Hunt when eventually he comes back from suspension.
And the quarterback and the receiver. And then they have a young tight end that's kind of a hot shot, too.
David Njoku.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that's.
And then their defense was already pretty good, and then they added Vernon to that.
It's good.
Come on, man.
It is a very, very solid.
Not even Freddie Kitchens
roster
can screw this up.
Well.
Famous last words?
Yeah, we'll see about that. But
ain't nobody got time for this.
Right now, on paper, this is a very, very dangerous roster. Now we'll see, expectations. You go from being someone that no one thinks about to expectations, and how do you handle it, and how do all the personalities, you know, jibe together? And again, you've never had Freddie Kitchens hasn't been a head coach, but I think there's a lot of people right now buying Cleveland, and I totally understand why.
Earl Thomas goes to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So the Ravens got him. Pretty hefty deal.
Yeah, he got
a lot of money.
It was good to be a safety this year. For whatever reason, last year, no one wanted a safety. They all sat on the market and no one paid anything for him. This year, if you were a safety, everyone put their foot in the cash register.
4 years, $55 million, and he'll get $32 million guaranteed.
Yeah. And, you know, remember, that was originally he said that he wanted 2 years, $30 million, and, you know, he got more than that. He probably won't see the back end of that, and he's been hurt a bunch. But, I mean, you can make the argument when healthy, he's the best safety. And Baltimore needed help. Remember, they lost four guys off one of the best defenses in the NFL that took them to the postseason last year. And so they needed to patch some holes, and here comes Earl Thomas. And I saw that, I think it was Sharp Football. I don't know if you ever, do you follow Sharp Football?
Oh, yeah.
They, I'll see if I can pull them up, but they talked about the impact of Earl Thomas when he was on the field and not on the field in Seattle.
Yeah, I saw that.
He is one of the biggest difference makers. We talk all the time that one guy really doesn't swing the pendulum that much in the NFL. Earl Thomas, when he was on the field with Seattle and not, was one of the biggest performance indicators, swings on or on and versus off the field of any player in the NFL over the last handful of years. So at least in Seattle, when you're assuming in Baltimore, if he's healthy, he really is a difference maker.
All right, we kick off next hour with hot James Dolan talk, 4 o'clock on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.